All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with two guys I would probably not lend money to, John and Chuck. Fellas, how's it going? What'd you have for breakfast?
I would invest your money properly.
I believe you would.
We put it in a...
I believe you would, Chuck.
Yeah, low interest.
I would put it on Wichita State minus 1.5.
That's what he would do.
I need to let the listeners know, too, you haven't lived until you've seen Chuck devour a bag of popcorn bought from a gas station.
I just did it.
Stomach turning.
Oh, I...
two euros Chuck Anderson, we call him.
2 euros. No, I had a Ultimate Meat and Cheese burrito from Sonic this morning.
Sonic, that's a good living.
So
we decided they
opened up a Sonic like 2 football fields away from my front door.
That's 2 high school football fields.
2 high school, American high school football fields.
You're not allowed near high schools, are you?
Oh, I am. I was a substitute teacher.
For
a long time. Okay. It's a great place to buy weed. Kids have great pot. But so the Sonic by the house went by it. It's been a disaster for my waistline, you guys. I've just been eating a lot of Sonic lately.
Did you get a Route 44 cherry limeade?
I only get Route 44
happy hour.
Yeah, because then it's like 15 cents for a big-ass water whip. Really good ice. You know that ice
is
legit.
Pellet ice,
real crunchy, good crunch factor. I do rate my ices, and those probably right up there with some of the best ice in a fast food chain.
Would you go to a mixologist? Do you like to get the really large ice cube? That costs like $3 extra.
Oh no, I like that. The big sphere.
No, I just
in my cocktail, I'd like some wild turkey with a sphere.
Oh, no. That's an amazing combo.
Yeah.
You guys are
expensive
so
ice with terrible, terrible, terrible.
You guys are so freaking bougie. I just drink 40 ounces and
I had a question.
Cisco.
I had a question for you, Chuck, in regards to your frequently dining at fast food establishments.
Uh-huh.
But I've noticed I don't think you've ever had a breakfast at Arby's. I'm curious, do you have a thing about Arby's? Because Arby's sends me a lot of coupons in the mail. Every 2 days, they send me $35 worth of coupons. To be honest,
there's just not an Arby's in my vicinity.
Just nowhere, not in the vicinity.
Yeah, I do appreciate a good roast beef sandwich.
Do they have a breakfast option?
I don't believe so. I mean, I don't even know if they do breakfast. That's why I'm kind of confused.
I will tell you about...
We should tweet at Arby's.
We should find out.
Yeah.
In their latest mailer that they send me with their...
Oh, yes.
Again, their announced $35 worth of coupons. They had a thing. Half of it was a picture that said, some of our best friends are vegetarians. And then it showed their sides of mozzarella sticks and curly fries. And I was like, every vegetarian's like, let's go to Arby's and get some
curly. So Arby's used to have this side. It was a bacon cheddar fried bite with like potato wedge thing. I don't know. Yeah. It used to be really good.
That could be a breakfast.
Almost. It's almost like an omelet without an egg.
Just a little hot sauce on there.
But yeah. So I did Sonic. It was that son.
John, how are you doing? What'd you have for breakfast?
Yogurt.
Some of that healthy living.
That's it.
John Burr, healthy liver.
There's not a lot of life behind these.
That's not the organ, the liver. I'm sorry, you are a healthy person living.
As I crack open this cold Coors Light.
Your liver has a long way to go. I had the kind of a common occurrence. I'm surprised it hasn't come up yet on a taping morning. I had a leftover Chipotle burrito, just the final, you know, sixth that I hadn't finished of that. The trick, I guess, with the leftover burritos is how to heat them up, because you don't want I got lettuce in there, you don't want that warm, but you know, the rice needs something.
Yeah,
needs a little heat.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's tough. But yeah, that's leftover Chipotle. It's a pretty much a daily dinner. So
Chipotle every day. Dude, you're boss.
3 or 4 times a week probably.
Oof. Man, you must be regular.
Oh no, I have a very very
Chipotle is the missionary sex.
I have a very scheduled,
but it's fine.
Keith is the only person I know and that I like that goes to Chipotle often.
Interesting.
Chipotle's the worst. That line, you just look down the line at the people in it, and you're like, look at those motherfuckers. Every last one of those people. John might be because it's in Green Hills.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know. This Chipotle's taking over the world with its universal, like, everyone's
design.
Embraced it.
Yeah.
John's still holding strong.
Sounds a little bit like the Nazi party there, boys.
Easy.
John lives his life hating things that are universally appreciated.
What's that argument thing?
And he calls me a hipster.
Have fun at Walmart.
John's a professional
Keith.
Hater of things, though.
Yeah.
Drinking that Haterade.
All right, after our breakfast talk, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies, our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong when discussing this professional sports league of basketball that we so enjoy. I'll go ahead and start with my apology. Last week, I spent a good bit of time mocking J.J. Barea for being... Because the Mavs color commentators said he was probably the last guy in the NBA you'd want to pick on. And I was laughing at that, saying he's literally the first person I would choose to pick on. And I actually went I went a little next level. I watched him very closely this week. And I will tell you, I'm going to apologize to J.J. Barea. He's got some pretty big shoulders. He's kind of a very compact dude. I think there's a real good chance he could Ray Rice me in an elevator real fast.
Oh, man. I don't know if we can do it.
So,
can we do we have so, Ray Rice?
Can't make fun of Chipotle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think I'll apologize. He is not in the top 10% of, I mean, he's still very high up the list of people I would choose to beat me up if I had to choose someone. But I was actually thinking maybe, I mean, even the Grizzlies own Mike Conley. He's kind of slight. He's got a hurt wrist, hurt ankle. Maybe Steph Curry.
I love how you use the injury report to better your odds in a.
I mean, we're talking survival here.
Why don't you go after Bosch, man?
Yeah, right. Go after somebody.
Punch him in the clot.
Right in the clot.
Lung buster.
In the blood clot.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize to J.J. Barea. He does look kind of tough.
You should go after Paul George about 11 months ago. Have some of this. A parish punch right to the femur.
Yep. You guys have anything you want to...
I'm going to apologize to, firstly, the homeless and then the African-American community. We realized just before the show that every person we said looked homeless was, in fact, a black person. That's wrong. Not only is it racist, it's also kind of mean towards the Mike Millers and Robert Swifts of the world.
Yeah, we definitely have had...
I think we were just pointing out that the Patrick Beverley's, the Reggie Jackson's, Jordan's.
I've been on record as saying Paul Pierce looks like a bum for years, way before that podcast yesterday.
You started this whole racist movement.
No, it's not racist. Paul Pierce looks like he just bathes in cat pee. That's what I said last week, and I'll stick to it.
There's another player you don't want to fight.
Paul Pierce?
He will throw some gang signs and...
No, I'll just stab him.
When he threw those gang signs, what did he say they actually meant?
I have no
Something
idea.
Something about love.
I need to look that up. I didn't even know he threw
it was
gang
like,
signs.
Oh, what?
No, I know he got stabbed a bunch of times.
In the face!
Yeah, but I didn't know he threw gang signs.
But he lived.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I would not mess with Paul Pierce.
That doesn't mean he's tough. That means he got to a hospital fast.
If I got stabbed in the face, I would die of fright.
Y'all ain't from these
Agreed.
Streets, son. Man, if you're from these streets, a little stab, it ain't nothing.
You have never been stabbed.
How do you know, John?
Because I've been stabbed, and I can see that you've never been stabbed.
Oh, you can look
game
in my
game recognize
eyes and tell
game.
You may be surprised. I've been in some night fights.
The person who stabbed me, now that I think about it, kind of looked like J.J. Barea.
You got stabbed.
There you go.
Yeah, I got stabbed.
By who?
A small Mexican man.
Oh, that's funny to me.
With a Swiss Army knife.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we're going to take this podcast down a different road. How did this happen, John?
I was in Panama City, and I was blackout drunk.
Panama City, Panama,
PCB, man.
Okay, that one. Okay, cool.
No, so, it wasn't cool.
You got stabbed at, what is it, Pineapple Joe's or something?
Something like that. Senior Frogs, I think
down
it was.
The street from La Vila.
Yeah. On the 30?
I didn't want to go to Panama City. I got dragged to Panama City. I complained the entire time in a Jeep Wrangler in like October, freezing my balls off, that nothing good will come of this trip. And I was stabbed that night.
Yeah. That reminds me of a guy on a Facebook group I'm in that complains about bikes getting run off the road by cars, and then he got hit by a car on his bike. And I'm so happy that it happened. And he posted it on the East Nashville Facebook page, and it made me laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Wow.
Good for you. You brought that karma on yourself.
Apparently so.
You son of a bitch.
Never
by being so negative.
PCB again.
No.
Do you have an apology, Chuck? Or no. Are you just building up this last
nothing.
5 minutes that you'll then apologize for next week?
I'm so sorry for talking about things.
Did I mind wipe you?
I think so. I don't know, man. I don't really know. I don't go. I mean, guys, I think I don't need to like have an apology every week because I'm not like the guy who makes these bold statements. I'm kind of the dummy who talks.
You do stick to the wheelhouse of of Hassan Whiteside and Dwayne Wade.
So
you haven't.
LeBron sucks and Kevin Love's leaving. Those are the things that I talk about.
All right, that's
well,
fair.
You guys could apologize for me for being all like pro Kevin Love, and he is definitely gone. So gone.
Boy, he had an awesome game against the Grizzlies.
Don't care.
He kind of
it's like
he kind of rolls Zach Randolph, kind of regular.
Yeah.
All right, so those were our breakfast in bed apologies. All right, now for our steak and eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw this week?
Stauskas? Uh-oh.
Wait, what did you see? What did Stauskas
do? There's a new Stauskas joke in town. Because Nick Stauskas has a new nickname, and that is Sauce Castillo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, if you had your closed captioning on during a recent Kings game, that's what Nick Stauskas' name was spelled out as. Sauce Castillo. And I think it's very fitting and very beautiful.
I've seen some logos, some Tabasco-esque logos of the, yeah. It's nice.
I'm here's hoping he embraces it.
You really should.
He seems incredulous on Twitter, but this could be, you need to brand this, Nick. Yeah. Excuse me, Sauce.
Sauce.
And it crazy. Is pretty, I assume it's produced.
Sauce?
Because it's Stauskas. Stauskas.
Sauce. No, it's sauce. Sauce.
How do you spell it?
Sauce.
S-A-U-C.
Yeah.
Okay. Sauce.
Sauce.
No, there is actually Sauce, S-O-U-S-E, which is
yes.
A very specific kind of food.
Or like when you're super drunk.
You can get Sauce.
You can be a Sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a... Some would say.
Panama
City Beach is filled with Sauces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My steak and eggs could have been an apology. Frequent fast break breakfast punching bag. Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
KCP.
Instead of apologizing to Kinsane Clown Posse, he'll be my best. Because in the last five games, the terrible player who is KCP is averaging 22.4 points per game and shooting 54% from the field, 41% from three. That is really good shooting guard play, which we don't see a lot of in the NBA. So
the dead position.
So KCP, a two-time iShop winner. However, you're my best thing this week. Way to put the ball in the bucket.
From the shop to the steakhouse.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good story.
So beautiful.
That's the story of Kinsane. Kinsane in the brain.
Magnets, how do they work?
Yeah. Chuck, you got anything good?
My best of the week is my boy, Dwayne Wade, coming with the...
retro.
Yeah, throwback little week. I think it was a wonderful little performance.
He looks like young Greedo these days.
Yeah. Eastern Conference Player of the Week for March 16th to the 27th. So whatever. 3-1 record for the Heat. And this past week's been a good week for me. Wade's averaging 24, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 2.25 steals a game. And he's shooting 53%. So he looks great. He's doing D-Wade things.
He looks amazing.
Apparently he's still hurt. Beasley's was quoted in saying that, you know, he goes out there and says, ow, my back, and then puts up 40 points. But he's...
I believe we call that the McGrady.
Yeah, that is the McGrady. But yeah, that's what he's been doing. So good for my boy. He's been the best this week. So that's it.
Well, now for the opposite. The opposite of these steak and eggs is the cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing you saw? I got a good one. The Phoenix Suns, who I don't think are going to hit their over. They lost to all three Sacramento Kings coaches this year. They found a way to lose to Mike Malone, Ty Corbin, and George Karl.
That's an amazing statistic.
That is. And this is a team that has a winning record in the tough Western Conference that is five buzzer beaters and three getting swept by the Kings away from having an awesome record. So the Suns, they've had a rough year. They've fought the Dragon wanting to fly free and then trading for Brandon Knight, who then got hurt and then not knowing what to do with all their random bits and pieces of players. But the worst for me is them losing to all three Sacramento Kings coaches.
A good little factor. Yeah. I have a bad thing.
Yes.
Michael Beasley, why, dude? Like,
stick to that Heat wheelhouse.
Look,
that's, this has to be talked about.
But this does need to be talked about.
This is one of the worst things.
I don't even want to talk about this.
John, explain what happened.
I knew you were going to say this was your worst, which is why I didn't choose this as my best thing of the week.
Of course. I need for you to talk this out.
So, whatever. You know, I can't do it. I can't talk.
All right, I mean, the most important thing.
Michael Beasley, that's Jared Bayless, dude.
Jared Bayless, former Grizzly Jared Bayless.
Very missed Jared Bayless.
A Grizzly player we celebrated wildly when he was sent away.
A party.
He had a jump ball. Backup shooting guard, combo guard, 6'2", Jared Bayless.
Right.
I'm not sure about that height, but it's not more than 6'2". Had a jump ball with Michael Beasley. And it was, I think, 10 seconds left? 6 seconds left? I don't even remember.
I think it was
Jared Bayless, clutch, won the jump ball with the Bucks down 2 to the Heat. And then in the ensuing scrum, after Bayless misses a layup, gets it blocked, he gets kicked out to future Grizzly Chris Middleton, who had a terrible game. He was actually last week robbed of an ice shop.
He was.
And had another terrible game, but he hit the game-winning three, his second game-winning three, speaking of Suns. To win the game, and you expect your athletic kind of big, small forward, power forward-esque Beasley guy to win that jump ball.
Yeah, well, whatever. I don't know.
How about after the game, Hassan Whiteside declared Beasley his mentor?
Oh, great. We're screwed.
I think that's...
We're stuck, dude.
I think those who watch the game closely can see that happening.
Yeah, but the boy... Beasley's been quoted on as saying he's gotten a lot of energy lately because he's stopped eating so much candy.
Mm.
So this is
a reverse Odom.
Yeah, 28-year-old man. How old is Beasley now? He's got to be 20-something.
Maybe that's why I'm so tired all the time.
Because you eat a bunch of Skittles.
So much candy all day.
Sweet tarts. And
you check your blood sugar and you check it often.
You should. You're probably diabetic and we don't know it.
There's
that's
no
why you keep that
no
girlish
reason not
figure.
To.
Mm-hmm. I pee about every 30 minutes.
Is it? What color is it? Your kidneys are done, dude. You're stuck.
Well, doctor, all I do is eat candy and drink sweet tea.
That's right.
What's wrong?
That's right.
Biscuits.
You got a cream of wheat, John?
I do, and it is the worst. Did anyone watch Detroit and Chicago?
I saw the highlights. I was otherwise preoccupied with other games.
Pistons are down 19 with 19 minutes left to go in the game. The Bulls then allow the Pistons, Monroe-less Pistons, I might add.
But they have Kinsane.
They outscored the Bulls 54-19 in the last 18 and a half minutes of the game.
Spectacular.
How does that happen? How does that happen on a Tom Thibodeau coach team versus a Stan Van coach team? These are opponents they're well versed in each other's ways. And what makes it even worse and what compounds it for me is then I want to write the Bulls off, you know, and say, well, things aren't going well for them and they must be sliding. But they just locked up third place.
No man can figure out the Bulls.
No one.
No one can unlock the enigma that is the Chicago Bulls.
Nikola Mirotic, who's probably going to get East Player of the Month.
Rookie.
Yeah.
Or actually.
Actually, might even get East Player of the Month.
Yeah.
And has stated a case for Rookie of the Year this past month. Was insanely benched in that game, even though he's been the best fourth quarter player.
I mean, the games where he plays, like over, I'm looking at when he gets over 28 minutes a game, he's averaging, I think, 20. I mean, for this month, he's averaging, for the month of March, he's averaging 20.6 points per game on a very, and he's even cold from three. Like, he's not shooting
like 28%.
Yeah, but he's 43% overall, but still, I mean, that's a team that you always think needs scoring.
That dude plays so fast.
I can't understand how they have, is it Thibodeau that's making these guys good? I mean, in my mind, they have a roster that is stock full of incredible players, like a Jimmy Butler, who was a late round pick. And then you have Mirotić, who came over from Europe, who also was a latest round pick. And then you have like a Taj Gibson and Joakim Noah. All these guys are incredible. And it's like, but they're not always incredible at the same time. And the team wins, but doesn't seem to always win. And
again, when are we going to start asking if Thibodeau's like holding them back? When are we going to think that could be an issue? Because he plays, I think his coaching style is less than, you know, genteel, and that wears on a team after
Gentile?
A while. Genteel. Was that,
I'm kidding.
Was that?
No, you're right.
Okay. He could, I think he's Catholic. I know he's not a member of the tribe, but Laheim and all. But yeah, he's, you know, I think that sort of grinding, you know, crazy minutes for all your players and kind of not really, you know, showing those, the love to the legs that you would think a player, a coach would give.
It's not from the Popovich school of resting players. That's for certain.
But it just seems like even though he keeps wearing these guys out, there always seems to be someone else. Like Aaron Brooks comes in and plays really well and his 3-point percentage is amazing. And then Tony Snell in spot duty will have these really great games.
That might be it because they don't have a Nate Robinson. I know you said Aaron Brooks has been playing well, but he outside of a few games, actually played pretty poorly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's killing them is when your backcourt is limited to Aaron Brooks and Kirk Heinrich, who I think is probably a bottom 10 player in the league, that's pretty tough. That's hard to overcome. In fact, in that game, they were destroyed by Reggie Jackson and Spencer Dinwiddie in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
27 points and 13 assists between the two
right.
in the second half alone. And that's pretty much... The Bulls are a defensive team. Aaron Brooks and Kirk Heinrich can't play defense.
I mean, you can put down Kirk Heinrich all you want. The Utah Jazz would murder for a player that quality in their backcourt. They have the worst backcourt I've ever seen. Well, that too.
Oh, you know what?
They have the worst backcourt.
Rodney Hood has been playing well.
Oh, Rodney Hood's coming on strong. He's a tall guy. He's kind of a tall two. I mean, right. I know we're getting rid of positions in the NBA.
Right.
But again, that if I watch another, I have a lot to say about Trey Burke and our scattered, smothered, covered.
Horrific.
I have a presentation prepared for you guys.
Burke and Burks are nightmares. But Rodney Hood, I think, looks kind of like a legitimate great. NBA player.
Can they trade Burks yet?
Who takes? Because he just signed a contract.
$40 million.
Right? Yeah, takes that contract?
I don't know. But that is a.
I don't know, but I think at the end of the day, the Bulls in a 7-game series have the talent, the depth, and I think. The experience, because they've been in that is a team that's been in the playoffs, and even though they've made early exits in the past few years, I think they could be a problem to a possible.
Absolutely, they seem to have all the talent in the world,
and there are whispers that Rose might be doing contact drills next week. So who knows what happens?
So wake me in 2016.
Yeah, because he's not playing. They are not putting him on the full floor this year.
Right. Sorry. So that wrapped up our cream of wheat. The worst thing with the Bulls blowing that lead. Could be the best thing with the Pistons rocketing to victory in that game. Mm-hmm. All right, so I just teased it. This is now the Waffle House Presents. And actually, you told me Hassan Whiteside actually had a breakaway dunk, kind of a windmill dunk.
Yeah.
And you said he cocked it back to Waffle House?
Cocked it back to Waffle House. That's him saying it. That's his quote.
So that's a quote. That's a Hassan Whiteside quote.
There was a wonderful breakaway dunk that Whiteside made against, I don't even know who they're playing. Not a big one.
That was like 2 weeks ago. There's no way anyone can remember.
No, it was this week. It was this week.
Oh, was it?
It was in the past 7 days since the last podcast. And he, did a one of those breakaway, stole a pass at the top of the key and did a, had a cradle rock dunk, which is incredibly impressive for a
nice.
7-footer. You guys definitely pooped all over it when I said
that. All I said was I was more impressed by the steal. The overplay on the inbounds pass knocked it away to himself.
He looked good, but the dunk, the fact that he cocked it back, I mean, brought it to Waffle House.
So he cocked it. So this segment is now the Hassan Whiteside cocked it all the way back to Waffle House Presents, scattered, smothered, and covered thoughts.
He might as well be a sponsor as he has been a full like third of what I've talked about this year.
As soon as he gets paid, can we contact him?
To your credit and to our listeners who have been with us, mm-hmm. Chuck broke the Hassan Whiteside story. Chuck broke this story before he did anything in an NBA game.
No, well,
he smelled, but Whiteside was cooking.
He needed
in
more
brief
touches.
Time. This
he
is before any of his national breakout. We were there.
No, we were early.
Fast
early
break
adopters.
Breakfast was there.
Early adopters.
Chuck Fast broke that one.
But all right, so going back to the teased Trey Burke presentation.
Okay.
Trey Burke had a tough week. He had a tough week. Based on 2 weeks ago, he was our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner, and then he went on a victory tour where he just had some abysmal games. But this is according to Andy Bailey, who covers the Jazz on Twitter. He put up, currently, Trey Burke is the first player in 50 years to play 2,000 minutes, which is pretty much means you're played the whole season, and average 13 shots per game and shoot under 37%.
Bravissimo.
This is, I like, you know, when you say like, because Ricky Rubio is statistically the worst shooter in NBA history.
Yes.
I love saying that when you're like, he's the worst shooter in NBA history. I'm like, I don't know. Statistically.
No. There are facts.
Trey Burke is on pace to be the first in 50 years to shoot this many times at such a poor rate. And he had a bad week. He had a game against Minnesota where he shot a terrible percentage. And at the end of regulation, attempted a wild three that was a comically hilarious attempt at a shot that missed. And then at the end of overtime, he tried a ridiculous half-court shot that was nowhere near the bucket to, again, I'm going to go to another Twitter user. At Ben Golliver said, too bad that game didn't go to two overtimes, or maybe Trey Burke could have attempted an 80-foot bicycle kick to top his other two buzzer-beater efforts.
Yeah.
He was an embarrassment. Throwing up these 4-for-22s, bringing his shooting percentage down. And again, we talked really big last week. We spent a lot of time last week talking about the Jazz, about Rudy Gobert, most improved player.
Block Chirac.
Defensive player of the year, and how they have the most abysmal backcourt play. And it finally caught up to him. Gordon Hayward missed a couple games, and they could not.
But who else is going to shoot on that team?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there's really no
that's
one.
Our point.
Yeah, so like, they can't even like do well in that situation.
I mean, I don't want to say Trey Burke's a bad dude. He's not shooting out of turn. So that's right. Your point. Like, yeah. Like he isn't. Someone has to shoot.
Yeah,
and he's unfortunately
a lot. What happens?
The burden falls to him
when your offense is that limited. A point guard's inevitably going to have a lot of these late shot clock terrible shots that aren't going to help your field goal percentage.
That's correct.
And they're just, you know, I think that limits him a little bit. But I think his role is a backup point guard.
Absolutely.
In the NBA. Maybe third point guard off the bench.
Got incredible players down low. They have Hayward and Hood, who are both out, who are good shooters.
Yeah.
He's just going to have to defer more.
I think we're going to see a world where he does begin to defer. He doesn't need to be playing 37 minutes a night.
Well, Dante Exum's also a thing. Like, he's not much better, I think.
He can't shoot at all.
He's basically like
Burks can't shoot.
Yeah, so they don't have anything there. Any other point guard on that team's a D-League prospect at best. So
that's the team that should have signed Tony Douglas.
Ian Clark.
Right.
Tony Douglas.
Belmont Bruin represent Ian Clark. Is he a Jazz player?
I think he has been, but I think he is back in the D-League. I don't think he's getting. And then there was a Sixers. Sixers lost a tight game. Sixers, they know how to tank. They've been losing numerous down-to-the-wire games this week, and they lost one to the Kings, where on their final play, it was hilarious. Brett Brown called timeout before, what's that guy's name? Jabari Grant, maybe?
Jeremy Grant?
Is that him? No, who's this?
Is it the Harvey Grant's kid?
Here's the thing. I'm not even going to apologize. I don't know who it was.
There is a Jeremy Grant.
But he was about to shoot, and Brett Brown miraculously got a timeout called before the shot got up, and then they ran an atrocious final play where no one looked like they knew what they were doing, to which, this is the all Twitter week, to which user at Freeman Eric tweeted, that was like if Trey Burke were every player on the Sixers, which again, I was really amused by the Trey Burke meme that seemed to break out across Twitter this week for his poor play.
Well, I do like the way Nerlens Noel is playing. He's
the rookies are coming alive.
We were talking earlier in the year how this rookie class was abysmal, and it's slowly turning into one with a lot of decent players, I think, you know, with Mirotić and Noel and
Elfrid Payton,
who you guys laughed at me for thinking it was a great player. I think he's got a strong future in the league. So this draft pick, it isn't who we thought was going to be good, but it's turning out to be a very solid
I would like to recognize Elfrid Payton for bouncing back from having back-to-back air balls on free throws early in the year to advancing to having back-to-back triple doubles.
Yeah, and whose hair still looks like it was made in MS Paint. with a spray paint.
Also,
been digitized.
Also, the Magic have their eye on the high draft pick prize. If there was a way
and
to,
how?
They get up 10 every game, and it feels like they take a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter every game and lose by 15.
Right.
Except for those random games that when they're accidentally leading with like a minute to go and they still blow it. But
they need to go full Sixers and start doing the full court press fourth quarters.
Yeah.
In games at their head.
The Sixers, whenever I think they smell a win, like Brett Brown gets like a little his pager goes off and it's like you need to full court press and they just blow that lead. The Magic, thanks to the Lakers unsuccessful tanking, the Magic find themselves only one game away from the Lakers to be in the top five of the NBA draft. And that's also important where that means if one lottery team jumps over the Lakers, then that pick goes to the Sixers. So the Lakers are failing at tanking, which I mean, again.
Yeah.
You ever been to the zoo?
Yeah.
Byron Scott, we salute you.
See the monkeys.
They're trying to tank harder and harder, though. They're just straight sitting players.
Well, they've done that all year where like Ed Davis plays 18 minutes.
Oh, now they're sitting their starters.
I was surprised they let Jeremy Lin play for 30 minutes in a game because he was on fire. I was surprised they didn't take him out.
They probably figured on some regression toward the mean and thought the real Jeremy Lin would stand up.
It didn't happen.
How about just Shved Mania? It's ended.
Shved
how
City.
About that Shved Mania that we had in New York for a second there? It was like a beautiful Croatian version of Linsanity that ended in tears as he is now out for the season with broken ribs. But he was balling for a minute there.
He does seem like the traditional.
He's terrible.
I'm fine with him being terrible, but he does seem like the throwback. I'm not saying the triangle will ever be relevant again in the NBA, but him being that tall Brian Shaw, Ron Harper, just that kind of the tallish point guard, kind of slow, just
the Derek Fishers of the league who inexplicably are relevant in the NBA despite not being able to play very well. Those guys are important. We need those guys.
Yeah.
More accurately, the Heat need those guys right now.
Look, Mario Chalmers. The problem with Mario Chalmers is he can do anything on the basketball court, and he also will.
Diamond Rio.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little about that Eastern Conference playoff race.
Let's do it.
Neck and neck.
Tight and bizarre.
I had written off the Nets. The Nets have stormed back to the, I'd say, horror of almost every NBA fan. I think the Nets are going to make it, and I think the Celtics are going to make it. And the reason I think that is that I think those are the two teams no one wants in.
There's no way, and I've gotten to this, there's no way the NBA will allow the Heat and Cavs to not meet in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Donaghy will be reinstated as an NBA ref before that doesn't happen, so.
I could see that, yeah.
It's just too beautiful of a story, right?
It was a big...
And as it stands right now, Miami's in the seventh seed and Cleveland's in the second seed, so it fits perfectly. I can't imagine it not happening. I just hope for it. I will get if we beat the Cavs in a... So I've been watching way more Cavs than Heat basketball this year.
Right.
If the Heat beat the Cavs, I will be tattooing a Fazbear Breakfast logo on my body. That's word bond.
It is written.
Should we update the logo? Should we make it better?
I think we should put a piece of steak on that, like cast iron skillet next to the basketball egg.
A little piece of we have bacon in there. Yeah.
Do you get it on your chest so that the yolk of the egg is in fact your areola?
No, I'll get it somewhere else, but not that part of my body.
Doesn't seem so brave anymore, Chuck.
I'm
if you're not going to go yolk areola, then it's not really that compelling a bet.
I'm permanently marking my body.
John has a point.
John, how many tattoos do you have?
What about, let's not shift the focus. Mm-hmm. What about, okay.
He's been stabbed, Chuck.
Yes. Look,
that's right.
Wait, have you been stabbed?
I have been stabbed.
Oh, good.
Well, I'll make a concession. You don't want to do the areola? What about the navel? The yolk can be the navel.
Done.
Belly tattoos are very fashionable.
I'll do that.
Oh, my Lord.
I will. But then you lose the basketball. You need that basketball. That's in our logo. Our logo's great.
Okay.
Check out our logo.
Austin Gray, thanks.
Big shout out to Austin.
Austin, my dude. Hey Dingus.
Hey Dingus, thank you.
Gramps.
I had put the Parrish stink on the Indiana Pacers pretty hard, where that happens where I talk positively about someone for about a minute on our show. And then they go into a unbridled tailspin.
It's like the anti-Colbert bump, right?
It really is. I actually had afflicted Chris Middleton until he hit that game winner.
No, he played bad in that game.
Yeah, no, I know.
He did. You're driving down his stock so the Grizzlies
the
can
Pacers,
get him cheap.
That's great. I believe I said something like, let's talk about how amazing the Pacers are.
Yeah.
And then they lost six straight until they ran into the salve that is the Washington Wizards. And
can Washington blow this and drop the like 14.5 point game.
So that was the amazing thing where it looked like, because so the Bucks couldn't win a game. The Bucks were in a tailspin where it was like, is this team going to blow a 10-game lead to, you know, these awful teams that are chasing them? And now the Wizards can't win a game. In this game where they conceded a game-winning layup to George Hill, who, by the way, if you remember, that's his shot.
Yes.
Is the layup.
The layup. That's he knows. His shot. Anytime he's within 2 feet like, of the basket, it's his shot.
So he did hit his shot. So Randy Whitman, I don't know if you saw this. This was kind of made the news last night, last 24 hours. On Wednesday night when they lost this game, Randy Whitman started walking off the court before his team had finished the last 2.5 seconds of the game. Like, they hit the layup, they have no timeouts, so the Wizards inbound it and eventually get a Rasual Butler half court shot. Randy Whitman has already he's walking off the court.
He Mike not, Singletary would be very upset.
not even exactly.
I want winners.
After the game, he said people asked him like why they allowed pretty much why'd you allow a game winning layup? Why didn't you switch? And he said we tried to trap. And then he said I don't trust my players to switch. They are undisciplined.
That's fair.
Are they going to fire him before the playoffs? That's like never happened in the NBA, I don't think. Has it?
I don't know.
This late
in the
year?
If they fire Randy Whitman, that team gets 10 to 20% better immediately.
I feel like you get a bump.
Immediately. They get 10 to 20% better.
I know the CBA doesn't allow a player coach, but I mean, it seems like they could.
Why is
Paul Pierce, man.
I want somebody to explain that. Can we find a human that can make that happen?
Owners stealing money?
Is it?
I don't know. Why isn't anything good in the NBA? Blame the owners, Chuck.
Well, I guess it has. You have to delineate labor. It probably has something to do with labor law,
or some probably the salary caps involved. Yeah, yeah. Where it can't be part of the
anyway. Whatever. What else we talked?
The Bilderberg Group.
That's what it is. The Illuminati.
Also, I don't know if you guys saw
Davos.
Andre Blatch.
Oh,
who we thought was going to come to the NBA this year,
dude.
He signed a very lucrative offer in the Chinese Basketball Association. He signed a 3-year, $7.5 million contract. I mean, I guess he just had no, it seems like he could have gotten that in the NBA. I don't know if there's outs and there's clauses. I don't know. I was surprised, but apparently he's trying to be bigger than Steph Marbury over there.
First of all, you can't beat Steph Marbury in China. You can only hope to match his greatness because he's like the Jordan.
Starbury is
three of the past four Chinese championships go to Stephon Marbury and his ugly shoes that he used to sell.
Are they the Sharks? Is he a Shanghai Shark, or is that am I just being an ignorant person spelling that out?
I think that was from the movie Mr. 3000. No, I don't know.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Bernie Mac.
Rest in peace, Bernie.
I think you guys might want to hear something.
Oh,
man, as a sexual being.
Do you have an answer to this?
I think I know what's going on with Andre Blatch over
is
in
this?
China. It's a, yeah, it is.
This is Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week.
Cold War Edition.
So Andre Blatch got a Communist Party leader's daughter pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah, that Communist Party leader is Yao Ming.
Yao Ming?
If you guys don't know.
Yao Ming?
So when he's in China, right, he figures that living under a communist regime isn't that bad if you're part of the oligarchy. If you have millions of dollars and can, you know, sidestep government regulation and do whatever you want. It's a lovely place to be if you're a multimillionaire.
Right. Or if you're the government has your back.
Right.
If you're part of it.
You're just a puppet. You're just a government puppet. So, yeah, he's getting paid a bunch of money. He found out he loved living in the Far East while he was a Philippine. I don't even know if it's Philippines, but he
was on the Philippine basketball team.
He was on the Filipino, yes.
The FBA, y'all.
Yeah, the Filipino basketball team where he became a citizen of the country of the Philippines in order to play for their international basketball.
They pretty
team.
Much drafted him, right? They just picked. They said, "Like, be a Filipino, and you get to, and we'll
right."
Like,
it
citizen.
Was it was like as close to that Chappelle Show race draft, as you can get. Anyway, so yeah, they signed him up, and he was like, "You know what? Why am I messing with this old busted ass Philippine country? I need to step it up and step to the major powerhouse in the area." And he was like, "I'm moving on up
You got sick of canned ham and let's, some of that Sichuan.
And let's and,
some.
And let's be real, 7.5 million in China. That's actually 7.5 million. That's there's no taxes coming
tax
out of that.
Free,
no.
baby.
That's tax free.
So he's living the life, and so he's decided, you know, how am I going to angle to become? When he's walking around China, he's like a giant. They look at him, they're in awe, and they go, "We want you to lead us." So he says, "I want to become part of the Communist Party and affect change."
I think so. You
I think Keith's theory is even better.
Wait. Well, I think you intimated that he knocked up Yao Ming's daughter. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you assume that was a arranged
power marriage?
Yeah, an arranged power coupling.
Breeding power right. coupling. Yes.
Much like Dirk Nowitzki was a offspring of the Third Reich's right. highest dreams.
He was.
Joy Division.
Much like Yao Ming, you know, his parents were two Chinese basketball players.
Right.
I think Chinese basketball was like, let's take Yao Ming's seed, his spawn,
of course,
and let's mix them with the finest the West has to offer.
Here's what you guys don't know.
What is this?
Yao Ming's daughter is actually one of the greatest Chinese basketball, female basketball players of all time. Yeah. So she's a high ranking official in the Ministry of Genetic Improvement too, as well. So this works out perfectly. So they can, you know, when they saw him play in the Philippines, we're like, we need to get that guy. And they basically, he wore Che Guevara shirts. It was really easy to sell
like
him.
Kurt Vonnegut and Richard Price wrote a book.
I'm pretty sure they'll probably build him his own city.
Yeah. No, they'll
just out in the middle of nowhere.
They're going to make like gold statues to him.
I also think in those, I don't know if you know this, in the Chinese basketball contracts, there's a lot of perks. Like, I know in the NBA contracts,
you can have two kids.
You get that per diem. Get that, you know, like different, or like a college coach, you got all these extra revenue streams where like you can do appearance fees and you can have your local call-in show.
You own a couple sharecropping.
I think in China, you actually have the right of ending five people's lives per every season you play.
Or have a daughter. That's the other thing you can do. Yeah.
Have you more than one kid.
You can have another child. Yeah.
So I think we got to the bottom of
there's no sense in what was just said, but yeah, we got to the bottom.
So I think we know why Andre Blatch. Cheers to you, good buddy. Godspeed.
If you guys know what we're talking about, let us know.
Right.
On Twitter at Fast Break Break.
And that was Chuck's assisted. Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week.
I feel like I just got audited. Was that some Scientology stuff you just dropped on me?
Are you cleared now?
All right, let's move. Actually, let's move from Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week to a little game of trivia that I have prepared. This is Game of Scones.
I love it.
Delicious.
I love it.
Breakfast dessert.
Where I this
undefeated.
Week
undefeated. Chuck,
Chuck, is, Chuck undefeated. Is undefeated, and we're going to put that to the test. I am going to ask John and Chuck. This is kind of difficult.
Son of a...
This is about bad NBA draft picks.
Jeez.
Top five draft picks in the lottery era from 1985 on.
Gotcha.
There are, not counting players who were drafted this year. So okay. This is players who, in their careers, average six or less points per game. So we're not counting draft picks this year, so Dante Exum and Aaron Gordon are excluded. There are 11 players who played in the NBA who were top five draft picks in the last 30 years who averaged less than 6 points per game.
Okay.
So there's only... So again, this is very tough. There are 11... These are strong busts.
Oh. Okay.
So we will go since Chuck is undefeated, he gets to go first.
The defending champion.
Because he's the defending champ. So what we'll do is you'll just name one of these 11 players.
Less than six.
Less than 6 points. I would say 10 of them are gettable.
There's a tricky one here. There's a tricky one.
I would say 10 of them are gettable. There's one guy I don't know anything about.
Michael Oladipo.
Wait, Olu Candy. Can I steal? Damn it.
Olu Candy, sorry. Olu Candy, sorry.
The Candy Man.
That is incorrect.
No,
Olu Candy averaged 8.3 points per game.
I knew it.
He didn't shoot a great percentage, but he did not do it. So that's a strike against Chuck. John, this could be your week.
Pfizer.
That is incorrect.
No, your list is incorrect. There's no way Marcus.
Marcus Pfizer in his career averaged 9.6
what
points.
What the flim flam flam?
This is fun. We did it. This is fun. This is a good one.
I like how you guys are yelling at me.
I love this. This is
again, all according to basketballreference.com.
Right. I believe you.
You guys both have a strike.
Damn, son
right.
of a.
All right. These are top five picks.
John Cocktoasting.
You guys are missing some.
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett is correct.
Yes.
Anthony Bennett is currently sitting at 4.7 points per game, one of the worst draft picks of all time.
Kwame Brown.
Kwame Brown, no.
Solid NBA player.
He's not even I gotta scroll down. He averaged way more, apparently.
Over his whole career?
Oh no, you're right. He's very close. It was a narrow miss from John. 6.6 points per game. Narrow miss.
Oh God.
Oh, this is where it gets crazy.
That's two strikes for John because now I'm drawing.
Most of these guys.
Are we doing per game or per 36 minutes?
No, this is this is per game.
Okay.
This is per game.
Greg Oden?
No. Not Greg Oden.
We're going to just...
Greg Oden with 8 points per game. This is very, very close. John, you need to get this.
You got
to
be really
bad. John, you need to get this. This guy was drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies.
Now we're giving hints.
I didn't need this one because this
felt like you needed. I felt like you needed it.
Who was it?
Hasheem Thabeet.
Right.
Who is number one on this list. So 2.2 points per game.
He gets a hint too, right?
But no more hints after this. All right. Because I actually know some.
Okay.
All right. Your hint is, actually, this is it. This is the hint. Actually, this can be for both of you. Two of them were drafted in 2013. So 2 years ago. There are 2 second-year players on this list.
I already gave you one.
I gave you
Anthony Bennett.
Oh, no, you're right. There's two more.
Two more?
Mm-hmm, there's two more.
That's outstanding.
Oh, geez. All right.
We got two strikes. We got two strikes apiece. John.
Third strike, isn't it?
No, it's my second one.
Second strike. All right, John. Can you name one more to keep it going? Think of these are some of the great draft busts.
I feel like Nerlens Noel is over 6 points a game.
Oh, don't talk it through.
I'm not saying anything. You got to pick if you want to make a guess.
2013. Let's see. First pick was Nerlens Noel. Our first pick was Anthony Bennett.
Bennett.
Second pick. Now he is scoring. Well, now I'm just blanked. It's over for me.
You're conceding?
I'm conceding.
This one was drafted. I'll go with the second worst one. John, he was drafted by the Denver Nuggets.
Denver Nuggets? Do I need to get this one for the win?
Well,
Last year?
No. This guy was drafted many years ago by the Denver Nuggets.
Oh.
This is one of the great draft busts of all time.
I think I might have another name.
All right, just name a name. This is for the win.
Otto Porter.
Otto Porter, Chuck, is undefeated. Yeah. Otto Porter is correct. All right, so our other ones are...
Wait. We need to celebrate this a little longer before you go on.
Chuck
thing. So
John, has never lost to John in Game of Scones.
I own you. I own you and everything you do. You're my bitch, and I will poop on a picture of you tonight.
there is one of the great draft busts of all time, Nikolaos Skidishvili.
Oh.
Darko Milicic.
He
averaged 6 points per game in his career.
How many points?
Six. Jonathan Bender.
Then six. Does he not qualify?
I said six and under.
Cody.
Then that's six.
Cody Zeller.
Darko made the list.
Oh, he did make the list.
Yeah. Darko. So we got Darko, six. Jonathan Bender, 5.5. Thomas Robinson. 4.9. Alex Lynn, 4.7. He's a good player. Sheldon Williams, 4.5. John Konkak, 4.5. And then Otto Porter, as you got. And then, honestly, I've only seen this guy on draft busts lists. Chris Washburn. Played 1 year for the Warriors in 87, 88. Average three. Sorry, that was our Game of Scones. Some difficult trivia.
We should be able to get 11 really threw me off.
Yeah.
Because no, we should not be able to get 11 of those.
No, those are terrible.
Maybe.
Yeah, those aren't players I would really, because they're terrible players that at one point in the NBA, in my mind,
I thought it was easier because I focus on failure. I really love it when people do failure.
Yeah.
So like I knew so many of those names.
We have a whole segment in this podcast dedicated to failure.
Speaking of,
we have one more thing.
What is that?
What was the one thing? I had one more thing we were going to talk about. Oh, how Bob Cousy has dementia.
Yeah.
So this, we got a text today. So we're going to double dip on the Whiteside. But Bob Cousy says Hassan Whiteside reminds him more than anyone else in NBA history of Bill Russell, which I think he might be referring to the owner of a Honda dealership in like Cambridge,
Tulsa.
Massachusetts. Yeah. Kind of gives him a good deal.
Right.
He reminds him of that, but it's definitely not Bill William, greatest basketball champion of all time, Russell.
We need a television program where Tommy Henson and Bob Cousy sit around and talk about today's basketball players. I've heard Tommy Henson compare Jared Bayless to DJ and stuff like that. Yeah. He's like, Kelly Olynyk, it's probably the next Kevin McHale over there.
Right.
Yeah. They don't really, they're not really.
Let's add Bob Cousy to the list of
overzealous, like hyperbole fiends.
But he was great in Blue Chips.
He was. All right, now for the awards segment of this evening's program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is awarded to the worst performance in a box score. There are spectacularly bad performances this week. We're not an honorable mention real quick. Trey Burke, 4 for 22. Monte Ellis, 4 for 22. As Rick...
Wait, 2-4 for 22s are honorable mentions?
I'm just throwing them out.
I would have bet cold hard cash that Monte Ellis was getting it this week. He's not even in the running.
I mean, it's hard to pick. It really is hard to pick. I did like that the Monte Ellis was the game where Rick Carlisle says we need more Monte Ellis, and then he actually delivered the next game. PJ Tucker, 1 for 11, not even a nominee. CJ Miles, 3 for 16. We have four nominees. Dennis Schroeder went 1 for 12, 8 points, 1 board, 1 turnover. Eric Bledsoe, 2 for 15, 5 points, 11 rebounds, though. And he did get 4 steals, but 3 turnovers. Isaiah Cannon. We should have stuck with this no Sixers thing. But Isaiah Cannon, 1 for 12, 3 points, 2 assists, 1 turnover, 5 fouls. And then Wayne Ellington, 3 for 19, 7 points, 7 boards, 3 steals.
Oof.
Or if you want, you can throw a Trey Burke, 4 for 22.
That's ugly.
The 4 for 22 game was the one we talked about earlier where he missed all the game-winning attempts. And whew, exactly. But
and that Monte game, which I watched, was...
But Monte was rough. He couldn't find the goal.
There were like articles about how they're worried about him after that game.
Right.
we're worried about Monte.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad. I think it's Schroeder. I mean, Wayne Ellington is just silly. 3 for 19.
He's been chucking for the Lakers.
And also, I mean, Isaiah Cannon's is the worst. Like 1 for 12, 2 assists, and then 5 fouls in like 25 minutes is hysterically
bad. I think we should give it
to... Who was he guarding? Claude, have mercy.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I want to... I think Schroeder needs to win something only because he looks like a backup dancer for Belle Biv DeVoe. And
he was dancing with Tupac?
Yeah, he was in the back.
Was he in Diggable Planets?
I think he was in the video for So For Real's Candy Rain. So, anyway, right. I just, from looks, I want to give him an award.
I like Schroeder, too.
I'm voting Cannon.
Are you? Even though
Cannon's the worst player,
But
I expect he's a D-League player. I expect more from Schroeder.
Yeah.
Isaiah Cannon is an NBA starter.
He is an NBA starter.
He's lost that. Does he still start? Because Ish Smith has been balling.
Ish Smith like plays Smith like gets, one less minute than
he
him.
He gets all the important minutes.
I feel like we should bleep out every time we say Ish.
Yeah.
What about this Ish?
All right. Now let's wrap up our par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to this week? Again, we're swirling the drain of the season. Only a few weeks left.
I'm just going to keep watching these weird standings in college basketball.
I mean, I think one thing about this wrap up of the season is finally what we thought in the preseason has finally occurred. And I don't know if that means it's true because we like to take the entire season, but like the Spurs are a juggernaut now.
Yeah.
The Spurs, since Thiago Splitter came back, their starters are outscoring their opponents by 35 points per 100 possessions.
Nuts.
They are crushing everyone.
And what's ugly is that bench has got a ton of minutes under their belt. And when the playoffs come, they're going to be incredibly 11 people deep again.
The Clippers look super good. We thought they would be a regular season juggernaut, and now they're actually looking good.
Yeah.
And then teams we thought were going to be bad, like the Bucks, are falling apart. They don't know how they can score. It's like they forgot what magic they had.
I think we'll go back at the end of the season and do all of our where we went wrongs.
Right.
But I think one of the ones we did go wrong with was the Wizards, and they're just not looking great, but they're fitting kind of in line with our projections.
Well, actually, for me, I thought the Wizards were going to be bad. Like, I thought they were going to be low 40s.
They overachieved.
That like they thought they were going to be good, and same with the Raptors. The Raptors, I actually thought, and I was on the flip side of that, where you guys were less hot on the Raptors, and I thought the Raptors were going to have a really good season, like 50 wins, and it looked like
they're not going to get there.
It looked like it was in the bank, they're not going to get anywhere close. Yeah. And so it is interesting to see if these teams have like. And like in our Grizzlies, which we'll talk about just very briefly with the Grizzlies epilogue, where we thought they would struggle in the regular season and then maybe be good in the playoffs, but then they started off where they were a juggernaut, and now they're hitting that regular season. We're like, oh, this is actually what I expected all along.
Yeah.
But after seeing the better, you get more disappointed. So
they've got their 50 wins already.
Yeah.
They got there over. So thanks, Vegas.
We had a thing.
Yeah.
We hadn't talked about Steve Nash.
Steve Nash.
Steve Nash is gone.
I thought he retired four months ago.
Yeah. But
apparently
it seems like he hasn't played basketball in four years.
Yeah, he collected a paycheck for about 2 years there.
So my favorite thing regarding Steve Nash is Dirk Nowitzki's quote on Steve Nash. Quote, he overcame a lot in his career, being injured, being slow, and white and unathletic. That's from Dirk and the mouth of the man himself. So, yeah. Yeah, so Steve Nash on some of the greatest offensive teams in the history of the NBA.
Yes.
Who, when we were talking before the show, weren't that bad defensively. Those teams that he was on weren't as terrible as you would think from the historical perceptions of them.
The defense, the points per possession was not as bad.
Yeah.
I think Bill Simmons was saying in his Lakers podcast was talking about
it. Oh, I forgot.
It was middle of the road at least.
Yeah. So they're not as bad as we thought. And, you know, Steve Nash, one of those guys who didn't deserve an MVP, but was a great MVP.
I saw someone point out, you know, how like if you swap out Kobe Bryant for Steve Nash, this person was arguing those Lakers win those three titles with Shaq in his prime and possibly way more because he doesn't ever undermine the team.
Right.
And as a Kobe hater, that kind of warmed my soul.
Oh, of course.
So, I know Steve Nash does get the, those are some of the worst MVPs awards.
So bad.
But it's still like, if you swapped him out for Kobe, I think those Lakers teams would have been ridiculous.
Hands down. I think you're absolutely correct.
They may
ended up keeping Shaq and having five or six championships. I mean,
he just would have fed Shaq.
He would have had so many
assist totals. It would have been crazy.
It would be fun to say we'll never see someone with that combination of shooting and passing. But then Steph Curry.
But we're seeing it right now. And there's now. Yeah, you just do whatever you want. Yeah.
Pass with both hands. Shoot from 40 feet. Whatever you want to do.
We're pouring out a little liquor for Steve Nash. We'll miss you, man.
Pouring out a little. I think. And actually, when we wrap up our regular season, we might pour one out for all the.
Retired.
All the injureds and retireds. We've had a ton.
Yeah, it's been
Go get a real haircut and get that skin checked out.
What are you doing, dude? We might be pouring one out for Kevin Durant in a couple days.
Oh, you know what he might be doing, actually?
What's that?
Steve Nash might be joining One Direction. I think it kind of connects in time. That haircut coupled with the fact that they need somebody who's, you know, under British rule to sing for them.
As
Canadians.
I think that's perfect.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out on Twitter @FastBreakBreak. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right. Welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. The Memphis Grizzlies are fresh off getting...
can we just call this the Cavs cast?
Eviscerated. Decapitated by the Cavs.
A humiliating defeat.
It was a
worse than the score portends.
One thing that made me feel better was then seeing the Thunder lose by 74 to the Spurs or however many they lost by. It's one of those games where, first of all, it was the first time LeBron had lost four straight games in Memphis. So that was kind of disappointing to let that slip. It's the first time the LeBron had beaten the Grizzlies twice in a season since the 08-09 season.
Well, Irving Love really dished out the pain a lot in this game as well.
And Dellavedova, you might apologize to him.
It's not happening ever.
You spent a lot of vitriol on him this year.
Y'all let Outback Jesus work you, man. That's no good.
It was a game where it's one of those, as a fan, cheering for the Grizzlies, I thought they played really well in the first half, their first unit. The second unit is a problem, just period. Now that Tony Allen is with the starters, which is good because that is the best lineup, now having Jeff Green run with the Calathes, Udra, Carter, it's just kind of rough. You hope they'd score more. But anyway, the Cavs played a really good first. I thought both teams played a really good first half, and the Cavs just played a better one. And then in the third quarter, they went, the Cavs went, what a white hot supernova type thing. They shot 80% and every one of their buckets was assisted.
Yeah.
And they suffered some, I don't know what it was, but they only missed 1-3.
Yeah.
And the Grizzlies don't have the firepower to keep up with anything like that.
No.
And as a Grizzlies fan, I don't find that a huge, I don't get too worried about that. It's like when they play a playoff series, the Grizzlies have won a playoff series almost with like a net points differential.
Yeah.
Because the Grizzlies will win all their games by two, and there's that one game where the other team's on, they lose by 20, and they're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
my concern
it's a series.
Is the Grizzlies' 3-point defense going into the playoffs.
And that is a problem.
Especially if you do get to see the Warriors or.
Absolutely. You
know, they just don't.
Spurs
they
me.
Yeah, they don't seem like they have the athletic length and quickness on the perimeter to really close out on those 3-point shooters.
It's a legit problem. And I feel like it's one thing where the Grizzlies have almost conceded some of this.
Yeah.
Conceded, like, you know what? Teams aren't going to hit 39% or better of their threes, even if they are open. And yeah. Some games they do. And, yeah. and the Grizzlies get rolled in those games.
So why did Vince Carter get ejected?
Did he get ejected?
Didn't he get ejected?
I didn't see it if he did. I feel like I watched the game. I don't think he did.
Okay.
I have no problem with Vince Carter being ejected of every game going forward.
Right.
I think in the playoffs, you guys are going to like Vince Carter. I've been saying it all year.
You have been saying it.
I really think you're going to...
Like, Vince Carter... Vince Carter has been on recently, and this is podcasting radio quotation marks. I'm saying, quote-unquote, on, which means he's been shooting, like, career average.
Yeah.
Like right now, Vince Carter being on is him shooting career average while not doing anything else, like just being garbage at everything that is not shooting. So I have not been super thrilled with what I've seen from Vince Carter. I do recognize, I like that they're shortening the bench. As big as Clayton's fans as we are, like you can't start Tony Allen and Mike Conley and then have Courtney Lee and Banner Udra and Vince Carter all play and Nick Clay this play. Like, it just doesn't work. So yeah. I understand you have to cut somebody out.
So what did Jeff Green say this week about being taken out of the starting lineup?
He apparently, his story is he suggested the change.
Right.
Which is really funny because all of we have talked about how, like, John and I don't want, we liked him more on the bench.
Right.
Because the freedom of movement, playing a little more of four. Mm-hmm. Like, when the Grizzlies traded for Jeff Green, it was the excitement of, oh, he'll be able to help our bench, which sucks, and John Luehr won't play anymore.
Right. We need him to roll out that small ball lineup.
But then our small ball lineup kind of sucks. And, but it's strange that apparently Jaeger still wanted to start him, but then Jeff Green claimed that he was, I don't know if it's just...
I think Tony might have had a talk with DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Might have.
That is so possible.
Step into my office / van, Jeff.
/ box of horror.
Yeah.
So, but he comes off the bench against the Mavs and you guys win by, you know, 11 points. And
well, so that's the one thing about this week is like they won back-to-back games over the Trailblazers, even though the Trailblazers suffered some injuries in that game. But let's be real, the Grizzlies own the Trailblazers in their last 10 games against the Trailblazers, 8-2. So Mike Conley, actually in his career, is 8-2 versus Dame Lillard, and Conley averages 17 points, 7.5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and he shoots 45% three, 48%. Yeah. So Mike Conley kills Dame Lillard.
He does. I really, though, your strength of schedule going through the end of the season.
Very hard.
Very difficult. Got Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, you know.
Where do you guys
Clippers.
Where do you think we end up in the final standings?
Well, I think third. I think yeah. Four, no one's catching unless the Spurs win all their games.
The Spurs have to close
possible?
Out. But
it is possible.
They could go on a 15-game winning streak to close the season and do crazy things. I could see it
they've
happening.
They've done similar.
Yeah.
It has been done before.
Has happened.
Yeah, they went into the 2012 playoffs, winning 20-something.
But they'd won so many.
Yeah.
It looked like they were going to win them all.
22 games in a row, and they got swept out by the Thunder. So, yeah, I think you're looking at a solid 2 or 3. I think you guys could be safe in the 2 if Houston
looks so good.
Dwight Howard's back.
I'm not a big Dwight Howard helping him guy. I think losing Pat Beverly. I don't know what is it with teams.
Man, I can't believe you didn't talk about the Pat Beverly injury during the regular thing. We should have done that.
Well, we're doing it right now.
Our real listeners hear it. That's a bad injury.
It's not that huge.
You don't think so?
He's a big player.
As far as like NBA is concerned, I don't think that's huge.
The drop off between Pat Beverly and Jason Terry for their identity is enormous.
No, you're right.
When the Grizzlies play them, them not having Pat Beverly, that's a it's guy huge. Who beats up Mike Conley. Because yeah, Mike Conley is frail, which is why I'd rather fight him than J.J. Barea.
I'd fight J.J.
What about, we never talked about Pablo Prigioni on the should we fight this 42-year-old Italian guy index.
Argentinian. And
Prigioni's Argentinian.
Is he not? He plays on the Argentinian team.
Does he? Really?
Google it.
I gotta know.
Is he your favorite? Is he your favorite European player?
If he's Argentinian, then he's scarier than I thought.
He might have
Argentine Italian.
Oh, he is.
We're both correct.
You know what that means?
Nationality: Argentine and Italian.
War criminal.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Parents are war criminals.
Real last name: Goebbels.
Yes.
Boom boom.
The boys from Brazil.
So, again, the Grizzlies won most of the games, and then they had a really tough game. And the story obviously remains to be written. Again, they're a team that looks bored. Like, they look bored.
Yeah.
They're a team that, against the West playoff teams, they have a great record. I think they've only lost, like, one game post-All-Star break. I think they're 5-1 against the West playoff teams. So it's the thing where, like, they're just bored. And I don't know if...
I think you're being hopeful. I think their flaws in the, you know, defensively with their perimeter defense is really just coming to show because teams are finally clicking, ball movements happening, and these, you know, whip around passes that turn into, you know, corner threes tend to work better when the team's been on, you know, on a run for a while. So
we're definitely not getting the scrum like play we need.
Yeah,
and that
we're getting it from Tony Allen though, but
the passing. The passing against the Cavs was terrifying.
That 10-point, 11-rebound, 6-steal game from Tony Allen? Oh,
I know.
Goodness.
That's good, but this is... Look, I would pick... if you could transport the Grizz to 1997...
Right.
I think they might have made it out of the Eastern Conference. Western Conference. You wouldn't have got past the Bulls. But that's a team that is built for a different era, I think. But I love watching them play basketball. It reminds me, as I said before, with my old Miami Heat teams with... Hardaway and Mourning. They play good basketball.
My take is, yes, the Grizzlies have not looked good, in my opinion. I'm still optimistic, but they haven't been really humming since the All-Star break. But even with how they're playing now, the teams that scare me are complete list. The Cavs. The end, Eastern Conference. I'm sorry, Atlanta Hawks.
I think the Hawks are still scary.
They're still very good, but they don't have the inside defense that I think can stop the Grizzlies. No. And then, so the Warriors look incredible. The Spurs are now winning all their games. And I think the Rockets look really tough. But the Grizzlies do pretty well against the Rockets in my mind. So we're still talking about only three teams that I think are playing clearly better than the Grizzlies. And because everyone is losing games,
yeah,
the Rockets are dropping random games.
Right.
I'm probably more on Chuck's side here. I'm actually worried.
You're more worried.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's much to worry about because the pace of play does drop significantly when the playoffs come.
Right.
But you saw last year in the finals, in order to win the NBA championship, you have to be a well-oiled machine on offense and defense.
But
I just think Conley's not playing up to his standard, and I think that's so big.
See, this is where you're right, yeah. And we've been so concerned about it every episode. I feel like he's actually rounding into shape, even though he's maybe just picking his spots a little more. What I'm taking solace in, though, is the starting lineup looks great. Those five guys, if they can handle getting when it kicks into the playoff gear, if we're only playing eight guys.
Yeah, we can't play Calathes in the playoffs.
Right, and if we're only going to see Bano for like 8 minutes.
That's what we need.
And then we're only going to see, and then Jeff Green's going to play 30 minutes, and it's going to be like a top six. There was a shot of the Grizzlies last night, you know, down 30, and they showed that bench of like those the top six guys, like the starting lineup plus Jeff Green. And it made me feel like this is cool. Like those guys are all veterans. So I'm still the optimist, even though that's not always my thing. I do feel pretty good about this team despite all. And of course, if they lose to the Warriors by 50, which could easily happen,
Jesus,
man, their firepower is so good.
I want no part of that team,
but, that's just something to watch.
Cavs, and then Spurs, Cavs then, Warriors, book it. Unless the Spurs somehow put it together.
Cavs Warriors would be epic. I'm getting excited. I might actually watch that finals.
Yeah, but the Cavs would win, and I can't have that. I need the Spurs in the finals.
Yeah,
it's the only team that can
Chuck is. Chuck's whole life has been like he's pitched all his hopes on the Cavs losing, and I'm worried they won't.
Or no, I'm really hoping for an eventual destructive decline. That's what I'm really. Right. I want to see a slow burn.
Okay.
And I've gotten hope in the past week with Kevin Love. Whatever.
All right.
We're not talking about that.
So thanks for listening to the Grizzlies epilogue. Again, share us on iTunes or rate us or whatever you feel like doing at Fast Break Break. You guys are the best. Have a good one.
Love you guys.